Now, welcome this morning. Beautiful day. We're glad to have you come and worship us here at, worship with us, not worship us, but worship with us here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church. Take your Bible this morning and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter number 31. I want to invite you to join us for special service tonight at the Senior Center. We will not be meeting here for church this evening, as usual. We are meeting over at the Senior Center at 6 o'clock, and we're going to have a special service over there with the seniors, our elders in the community, and it'll be a lot of fun. We're going to sing and do a little bit of preaching. Just be a blessing to them, and we want to do that. It's a good thing. So meet us over there, and we'll have a good time over there, I'm sure. Genesis chapter number 31, and I'm going to read verses 2 and 3, and then we're going to look down, and we're going to read verse number 13. Genesis chapter 31, verse 2 and 3, and then verse 13. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said unto Jacob, Return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. Verse 13. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. Let's pray. Dear Lord, help us this morning, God, to understand your word. Open our eyes, our ears, our hearts, Lord. We need you this morning. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Lord, I pray, God, that you do a work in our hearts. May the Holy Spirit move among us, Lord. Without you, Lord, this is in vain. And Lord, God, we know, Lord, that you want to meet with your people. You want to bless your people. And God, I pray that you just help us to empty ourselves of all that is not right, all that is not you. Lord, help us, Lord God, to be filled this morning with everything that's you. In your name I pray. Amen. God appears to Jacob in a dream here in Genesis chapter 31, and he makes this statement in verse 13. I am the God of Bethel. God is reminding Jacob of what took place at Bethel years before. Obviously, what took place at Bethel was important to God. That's why he was reminding Jacob that he was the God of Bethel. Obviously, Bethel was important to Jacob because God said, Jacob, remember Bethel. I'm reminding you of Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. In order to understand the significance of Bethel in the Bible, you have to look back at the life of Abraham, the grandfather of Jacob. It was at Bethel that Abraham first called upon the name of the Lord, back in Genesis chapter 12. It was at Bethel that Abraham made an altar unto the Lord and called upon God for the first time. In Genesis chapter 28, God appeared to Jacob at Bethel after Jacob had fled from Esau, his brother, who wanted to kill him. In Genesis chapter 35, God tells Jacob to go up to Bethel. Now, Bethel is a special place in the Bible for several reasons. First of all, Bethel is a place of faith. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 8, the Bible says Abraham builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord at Bethel. Now, Abraham is known as a great man of faith in the Bible. And I believe it was at Bethel that Abraham first placed his trust in the Lord and began a spiritual journey with God. From that point on, he had already begun a physical journey. He had left his father and his home, and he was going to a place where God was going to show him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The Bible says in James, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham began his spiritual walk with God at a place called Bethel. Bethel's a place of faith. Bethel's also a place of forgiveness. If you read on in Genesis chapter 12, the Bible says that Abraham journeyed south and went down into Egypt. Now, that's no direction for a child of God to go. A child of God is not supposed to be going down or south. The Bible says that we should be moving on. We should be pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But Abraham, he made a decision. He went south. He went down to Egypt, the type of the world. Abraham left Bethel behind, and he took a trip to Egypt because the Bible says there was a famine in the land. And while he was in Egypt, Abraham got himself into some trouble. He went down there, and he had a wife. Her name was Sarah, and she was a beautiful woman. And Abraham said, Sarah, I know that these Egyptians are going to look at you and see you as my wife, and if they find out you're my wife, they're going to want you to be Pharaoh's wife, and they're going to kill me so that Pharaoh can marry you. So don't tell them that you're my wife. Tell them that you're my sister. And they went down there, and Pharaoh saw Abraham's wife, Sarah, and Abraham said, oh, she's my sister. And Pharaoh took her into his house. And God plagued the house of Pharaoh because of that. And Pharaoh called Abraham before him and said, Abraham, why did you lie to me? She's not your sister. She's your wife. Why didn't you tell me? And the Bible says that Pharaoh told Abraham to leave. He said, get out of here, leave, Abraham. And the Bible says that Abraham left Egypt and returned to Bethel, where his tent had been at the beginning, under the place of the altar. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. Abraham found forgiveness at Bethel after he had left the dwelling place of God and went down into Egypt. Abraham had left the will of God for his life. He'd made a bad choice. He made a bad decision, and he put his family in a difficult situation. And in shame, he was sent away by the Egyptians. And Abraham made the long journey back to Bethel and cried out to the Lord for mercy and pardon. And God gave Abraham a new start in Bethel. I'm glad God is a God of a second chance. I know a lot of Christians who've gone astray and have found mercy and forgiveness again at the house of God. God's given them a second chance. I'll never forget when we lived in Michigan. There was a young lady there, and she had a little daughter, and she was alone. I said, where's her husband? I was talking to one of my friends. I said, where's her husband? And he said, well, you haven't heard the story. I said, no, I haven't heard. We just moved there. And he said, well, her husband left. And I said, well, how long ago was this? A couple years ago. I said, what happened? And he said, well, we had a revival one summer. We had a tent meeting, and her husband, he went down to the altar and got things straightened out, gave God his life, gave God his all, surrendered his life. I said, that's great. Well, where is he? And he said, well, his wife got pregnant. And they had a child, beautiful little girl. That little baby ended up dying. Just a little baby in the crib ended up dying. And he said after that, he took off, left that wife and that little daughter. She's about 6-7 years old, and a beautiful little girl. He left, went out, lived in sin. He said, last we've heard, he's living with another woman, just living in sin, away from God. And I said, well, what's she going to do? What's she going to do? He said, I don't know. She's praying for him to come back. She's praying. She's not going to give up until he comes back to her. And I forget that Wednesday night service when that man showed up in church. And he showed up, and he was sitting right next to that little lady. And she had a big smile on her face. And that little girl, his little daughter, she had an even bigger smile on her face. I mean, you could have turned all the lights off in that church, and she could have lighted up that church with her smile. She was just so happy that her daddy was home. And I'm telling you what, that night we had a revival service. I think Brother Mark Rogers was there preaching and singing, and we just had a great old time. There's forgiveness at Bethel. There's forgiveness at the house of God. Bethel's where a place where even though a Christian may have gotten away from God and got out of the will of God, they can come back and find forgiveness at Bethel. Bethel's also a place of favor. In Genesis chapter 8, Jacob is fleeing for his life, trying to get away from Esau. Esau wants to kill him. And Jacob finds himself all alone, nobody else, just him and God. And that night, Jacob had a dream, the Bible says, and the Lord appeared to Jacob. And the Bible tells us that the Lord said, "Behold, I am with thee." If there's ever a person who needed to see God and needed to hear from God, it was Jacob. Jacob needed God's approval. And having God look upon him with favor at that time in his life, at that point in his life, meant a lot to Jacob. It changed him. It made a difference in his life. The Bible says in verse 18 of chapter 28, Genesis chapter 28, Jacob rose up early in the morning and took a stone, the stone that he had put for his pillow, and he set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel. And he vowed a vow, saying, "If God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house." Jacob found favor with God at Bethel. Bethel is still a place where God's people can find favor with Him. Bethel is a place of fellowship. In Genesis chapter 34, we find Jacob in the land of Shechem, out of fellowship with God, out of touch with God. And because Jacob was out of fellowship with God and was backslid on God, and he lacked spiritual discernment to the point where his daughter, Dinah, ended up being ruined and destroyed by the evil influences of the ungodly people of the land. The Bible says that Dinah went out to see the daughters of the land, and the prince of Shechem saw her, and the Bible says that he lusted after her and desired her, and he took her and lay with her and defiled her. And Jacob knew about it, but Jacob didn't do anything. Jacob let it go. Well, Dinah's brothers found out what the prince of Shechem had done, and they weren't too happy. So they got together and they went in. It's a long story, but they went in and they slew all the people of Shechem. They slaughtered a whole city of people because of what happened to their sister. Because Jacob, their father, was out of the will of God. He was in Shechem when he should have been at Bethel. In chapter 35, God tells Jacob, "Go up to Bethel. Get out of here. Go up to Bethel where you should be. Where I told you to go in the first place. Build an altar there." You know, if Jacob would have done what God had told him to do in chapter 32, he would have saved himself and his family a lot of heartache. The whole time Jacob was in Shechem out of the will of God, he was only a few miles from Bethel where God had told him to go. I'd hate to see my family go through what Jacob's family went through, living so close for so long to the very dwelling place of God and yet so far away from the presence of God. Why was it so important for Jacob and his family to get back to Bethel? Why did God say, "Arise, go to Bethel"? I believe it was important for several reasons. First of all, Bethel represented the presence of God. Jacob lacked the presence of God in his life. God was nowhere near Jacob in Shechem. Bethel was the house of God, the dwelling place of the Lord of hosts, and being in God's presence meant once again being in God's favor. And Jacob remembered the blessings that come to those who live in God's presence. You'll never be blessed of God if you're living outside of the presence of God, out of the will of God, away from God. Jacob remembered the blessings. He was reminded of the benefits of being in God's wonderful presence. Listen, there are benefits to living and dwelling in God's presence for His people. There's no benefits outside of the will of God. There's no blessings outside of the will of God. You may get by for a time, but the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out, and one day you'll find out, listen, you should have been at Bethel instead of at Shechem, or instead of down in Egypt, the type of the world. Jacob was reminded of the benefits of being in God's wonderful presence, and he recalled the benevolence that God had shown him at Bethel. In chapter 33, Jacob left Laban. And you know the story. Jacob had deceived Esau and had deceived his father Isaac. And Isaac had blessed Jacob instead of blessing Esau, the firstborn. And Esau found out and he was mad. Well, Isaac died. And Esau said, after I'm done mourning for my father, I'm going to kill Jacob. And Jacob's mother found out about what Esau had been planning and told Jacob to flee and go to live with her brother Laban, where he'd be safe. Well, Jacob did that. And finally, Jacob left Laban. And the Bible says, Jacob sent some presents to Esau. And the Bible says that Esau was coming to meet Jacob with 400 men. Jacob thought, oh no, he's going to get me now. He's going to destroy me. He's going to destroy my family. We're going to lose everything. It looked that way. The Bible says, chapter 33, Jacob lifted up his eyes and he saw Esau coming. Here comes Esau with 100 men. He's promised, last words I heard out of his mouth, he said, I'm going to kill you, Jacob, for what you've done. Jacob really expected that Esau was going to kill him and all that he had. But in that chapter, we find a wonderful reunion of two brothers. There's no bloodshed. There's only tears shed in that chapter. The Bible says that they ran and they embraced one another. And they hugged one another and they kissed one another and they had a reunion together. There was no bloodshed. There was no anger. There was no wrath. There was no killing that day. There was just a reunion of two brothers. You say, how did that happen? What happened there? I'll tell you what happened. It was God. God got in between that. God got in there somewhere. And God spared Jacob that day because of God's great mercy and God's great love and God's great benevolence. And Jacob remembered that. Jacob recalled that. Jacob wanted to be in the presence of God again. Bethel represented not only the presence of God, but Bethel represented the promises of God. In chapter 28, God made some promises to Jacob at Bethel. And you know what? God, when He makes a promise, He always keeps His promises. God never breaks His promises. God promised to multiply Jacob's seed. God told Jacob that He would be with him and keep him in all that he did and the way that he went. And God told Jacob that He would not fail him until the promises were fulfilled. It's nice to know that no matter how far away we get from God, no matter how unfaithful we are to God, God is always faithful. God always keeps His promises. God made some promises that day to Jacob and God kept them. And Jacob was reminded of that. And Jacob said, I want to be in the presence of God again. The presence of Bethel represented the presence of God and represented the promises of God. It also represented the power of God. And Jacob had seen the power of God before at Bethel. Jacob had a dream and he saw a ladder and the angels of heaven descending up and down that ladder. And at the top of the ladder, he saw the very God of the universe. And he said, and when he woke up from his dream, he said, this is a fearful and a dreadful place. He had seen, he had witnessed the power of God. The Bible says that he erected an altar there at Bethel. And Jacob at this time in his life, at this point in his life in Shechem, his family's a mess. His spiritual life's a mess. His spiritual life's in a shambles. He said, I got to get back to Bethel. I want the power of God in my life again. In chapter 33, when Jacob foolishly decided to spread his tent in the land of Shechem, the Bible says he erected an altar there and called it El El Ohi Israel, which means the mighty God of Israel. But that was just for show. The power of God was never in Shechem. Jacob pretended that he had the power of God, but he had nothing. He had nothing but his flesh. And God was gracious to him in Shechem. There's no question about it. Things could have been a lot worse. And God was merciful to Jacob. But this whole time, God's saying, Jacob, arise, get up to Bethel. Go up to Bethel. The power of God was never in Shechem. The power of God was in Bethel. And finally, Jacob realized that he was in the wrong place. And if he was ever going to experience the presence of God and the power of God and the promises of God fulfilled in his life, he was going to have to get up and go back to Bethel. Turn over to Genesis chapter 35 and I'll close. In Genesis chapter 35, this is where Jacob arises and returns to Bethel. In Genesis chapter 35, verse 3, the Bible says, Jacob speaks and says, "Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, he and all the people that were with him. And he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother." El Bethel means the God of Bethel. Jacob and his family forsook Shechem, got up, and went back to Bethel. God didn't say, "I'm the God of Shechem." God didn't say to Abraham, "I'm the God of Egypt, go to Egypt." He said, "I am the God of Bethel. Arise, go up to Bethel." The power of God was at Bethel. The power of God meant revelation. In verse 9, the Bible says, "And God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him." God revealed himself to Jacob, not in Shechem or anywhere else, but in Bethel. The power of God meant revival. In verse 10, the Bible says, "And God said unto him, Thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called any more Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel." Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. Jacob meant supplanter, deceiver. Israel means a prince with God. There was revival at Bethel. The power of God at Bethel meant restoration. In verse 11, the Bible says, "And God said unto him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and the kings shall come out of thy loins, and the land which I gave Abraham and Isaac to thee, I will give it, and to thy seed after thee will I give the land." And God went up from him in the place where he talked with him, and Jacob set up a pillar in the place where he talked with him, even a pillar of stone, and he poured a drink offering thereon, and he poured oil thereon, and Jacob called the name of the place where God spake with him, Bethel. The Bible says that God blessed him. God didn't bless him in Shechem. God didn't bless him anywhere else. God wanted to bless him at Bethel. That's where God wanted Jacob. He said, "I am the God of Bethel." I'm glad he's still the God of Bethel today. I'm glad he still reveals himself to us today. I'm glad he still has the power to revive us again. I'm glad he still has the power to restore his wayward children and reconcile them back to him. He is the God of Bethel. As we sit here today, I wonder, where are we spiritually? Where are our lives spiritually? Are we in Shechem? Are we over here in Egypt? Or are we at Bethel where we should be? He said, "I'm the God of Bethel." The God of Bethel is calling. Are you where God wants you to be spiritually? The Spirit of God is speaking to some hearts this morning, and He's saying, "Arise, go up to Bethel. Arise, go up to Bethel." Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for the truth of God. Lord, I pray this morning as we think about the words that have been preached and have been spoken, and we ponder them in our hearts, God, the Holy Spirit would move, and God, that we would make some decisions, Lord, today to forsake whatever it is, whoever it is, that's keeping us from Bethel. We need, as Christians, to be where God wants us, to be doing what God wants us to do. And Lord, I pray, God, as Christians this morning, that we would find out what it is you want us to do and where it is you want us to be, and build an altar right there in that place and never leave it. Ever. In your name I pray and ask these things. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation. If God's spoken to your heart this morning, invitation is open. Scott, you want to come up and lead a song for us? If you're here and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior this morning. The Bible says that God changed Jacob's name. God gave him a new name. When we get saved, God gives us a new name. We have a new name written down in glory. Maybe God needs to change your name this morning. If you're here, you're not saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. Repent of your sins. Believe on Him. We'd like to show you how you can know for sure where you're going when you die. How you can have a right relationship with God. If you are not saved, please don't leave here this morning until you make certain of your salvation.